You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The text is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 5 through 6, where we read, "The apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' And the Lord said, 'If you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, "Be rooted up and be planted in the sea," and it would obey you." And this short sermon is about what a mustard seed of faith can do for you, for me, at this point in a stuck life. How do you emerge? How do you get just the ability to walk out the door, to get out of bed or make a phone call when you're stuck and you're in an impasse? Apparently, a mustard seed, a tiny little bit of faith, would be sufficient to get us rolling, and great things would happen. But often, we don't have it. I want to talk about you if you're in an impasse. A number of things have come together in your life that it's kind of a de facto closed door because of conflicting commitments, and you're kind of stopped. Or maybe you're in a real quandary about where to live or whom to love or what to do. And it's not just broad. Retirement. I mean, I almost announced yesterday that the sermon was particularly intended for retired men. But then I thought we'd have so many wives here that it would be too full. That was a joke. You remember that song by the Bee Gees from 1977, Alone? It's one of the great masterpieces of 70s lyric rock and roll, Alone. It may be that at this point in your life, the impasse is the inability to counter a spirit of genuine aloneness. You're actually alone. And apparently, according to Christ, all it takes for someone who is in a kind of an impasse or a rut or a closed door or unemployment, lack of purpose, is a mustard seed. So the point of my sermon is this. How can you find a mustard seed? Where can the mustard seed be found? I believe it, and I've seen it, but how do we find it? Well, the mustard seed of faith that apparently one little step when you're a hoarder, when you're living in a house and you never see anybody, when you're an alcoholic and it's getting worse, when you're all alone, when you're completely stuck in a pattern that your eldest daughter cannot get out of. Apparently, all it takes is a mustard seed. What? How could we find it? I mean, who doesn't want that? Well, in the Bible and in life, the inward origin of the mustard seed is someone to love. It's not something that's organically a chemical thing. I mean, it's not an object that you can parse. The mustard seed is someone to love. Now, let me give you an example. I'm sure you've all seen the movie Little Boy. Little Boy was a movie that came out in 2015. And it's a religious movie, albeit a major Hollywood movie. Not a Christian movie in the genre sense, a major movie. But it was so controversial when it came out that the New York Village Voice devoted an entire page of outrage against the movie Little Boy, which is only about a 10-year-old boy. Imagine that. So, of course, when I read that, I said to Mary, well, this must be the best movie of the year. So, Little Boy comes out in 2015, And it's about a little boy in a Catholic parish in a small town in California in 1942, whose father has been drafted and is in the Pacific Theater fighting the Japanese. And this boy keeps hearing about this thing called a mustard seed. And then they get the letter that the father is missing in action in an atoll in the Pacific. And the boy's world crumbles around him. But he starts thinking about his father. And he decides to pray for his father's return. So he goes down to the little kind of dock in the little town in Southern California. And he stands on the dock, and he's 10. And he starts praying that his father would come back to him. It's his mustard seed. He's praying. And he's praying. And I don't mind spoiling it to you. He ends the war. World War II ends. You'll see how they do it. Because of this faith of a mustard seed. And is not inspired because of the desire to have peace among men. It's inspired by his love for his father. Everything hinges on the little boy's extraordinarily personal, deep, deep concern for his father who's far away. And that's a picture. I kept thinking of Stevie Winwood as I predicted this sermon. I'm sure you've been thinking about Stevie Winwood. And do you remember that song, Higher Love? Give me a higher love from 1986. Oh, I want a higher love. Well, I nicknamed the song Prior Love. Because give me a prior love. The key to the mustard seed of faith, of withdrawing and getting out of the sense of defeat and hopelessness in the present vis-a-vis the future that you have, is a prior love. It's something that motivates you. It makes you desire to live in a life of service. To love a prior love. It is nothing else but that. You can't be lectured into it. When is the last time you tried to lecture a person who's in a rut? Have you tried? I would say the success rate of lecturing people, especially your children, let alone your spouse, where you run the risk of murder, is maybe close to 100%. And the only answer to an impasse, if it's in you or if it's someone you love and care for, is to be oddly filled with a love that animates you to move. Now, this is the way it was with Christ. Every single person he met was in a genuine, certifiable rut. The blind beggar Bartimaeus. He'd been there for years and years and years. Zero action. St. Matthew, the civil servant. The woman with the issue of blood. 25 years, an ailment that had shown no alteration. Mary Magdalene, who'd been practicing her craft for many years, and he forgives her 70 times 7. No wonder she follows him to the tomb. No wonder we have churches named after. The man at the pool of Bethesda, it says, had been there for 34 years, completely stuck in faithlessness. And always what broke through was prior love. Someone came up to them, Christ, and showed love for them. And all of them, the bondage broke in the moment. And they were given the mustard seed of faith, and they followed him and changed. Now, do you remember years ago when the Advent Episcopal School choir sang an anthem based on the Robert Frost poem, The Road Less Traveled? Well, they did, right here. They sang an anthem at various points of the year of the song, The Road Less Traveled by Frost. And the last line of it is, and that, the mustard seed, has made all the difference. So let me just give you one other example. And, you know, 50 years ago, the most popular book for children was this book. I'm not telling you a lie. The most popular book for children, normally speaking, in the world we lived in, was called Heidi. Heidi by Johanna Spyri, a Swiss woman. And this was read to your little girls, to your little boys, but most of all, best if it was read to your husband or your grandfather, because it's how a older man who's 70, who's lost both his sons to death, and he's lost his business, and he moves from the city of Zurich, the big metropolitan city, to the Alps to get away as far as he possibly can from the scene of his tragedy. And then through circumstances beyond his control, his granddaughter, who's 8, named Heidi, is brought to him for full-time care because of some tragedies. And he is about the least likely person to look after an 8-year-old girl with his degree of bitterness, resentment, and failure. In fact, in the German translation, they call him Almenkel, which in English means my uncle from the Alps. In other words, he had moved out of life so far because of his profound bitterness and anger, also at God, to the tragedies of his life, that they called him my uncle in the Alps. No one ever saw him. And then, through a powerful turn of events, he's in charge of his lovely, dear, 8-year-old, ingenuous, and deeply Christian child. And his life is completely changed by the love that he develops almost overnight to this lovely, dear little girl. And what do you think happens? It's like a law of thermodynamics. He has changed within 3 months. He's become the most outgoing, the most caring, the most consistent, the most to be found in the highways and byways of anyone in the Alpine village, because he has someone to live for. He has something to live for, and it's Heidi. So I want to close this sermon by really asking you this. Don't fall for the shibboleth if you're an older person. And by the way, everybody who's not an older person, you will be, so I'm helping you. And don't worry, being an older person is terrible. You're right to stay young. But it's not over in every case, because what you'll hear when you get to be a certain age, people will say, oh, you have to live in the now. The trouble with you is you're living in the past all the time. You're always thinking about thus and so. The trouble with you is you've got to put that in the rear view mirror. Now, if I hear the expression, the rear view mirror, one more time, I'm going to physically assault the person who tells me. I say to them, I'd like to see it in the rear view mirror. I wish it were in your rear view mirror. But in fact, it's with me at 2:00 in the morning, and there's no rear view mirror. And I know I'm supposed to live in the now, and I know that I have to live in hope and faith for the future, but I can't do it. So dismiss that well-meaning shibboleth. All I need to live at any age is someone to love. And the funny thing is, you may say, well, who's that? I don't have anybody to love right now. All men are a bunch of this. All women let you down. All people are terrible. All older people are unreliable. All brothers and sisters are jealous. The only way it's going to happen is if you actually realize that there is someone here in your life who's lovable. Because in most cases, somebody right in front of your face is looking for someone to love them. Now, I was trying, as a conclusion, I was trying to act out a bit of Motown choreography, but I don't think I can do it, but I'm still going to try. Do you remember the Stylistics? Well, they were a group in the 70s in Philadelphia, one of the great, great, great Philadelphia sound groups. And they did a song called, that is the answer to the problem. It's the answer to the problem. It's called Stop, Look, Listen to Your Heart. Stop, look, listen to your heart, for the one you love is right in front of you. And oddly enough, that's actually empirically true. I mean, you may say, who is that? Well, you may have to look to the left and the right. You may have to answer the phone call. It's extraordinary how God gives us the mustard seed of faith when we find a love that animates it and causes us to love. And let me see if I can do this, and then we're over. It goes, stop, look. Listen to your heart for the one you love. I didn't do that right. Stop. Look. Listen to the heart for the one you love. Well, that's my little word. That person is not about something abstract. It's not necessary about a group. It could be about a granddaughter. It could be about a niece. It could be about with the one you love, who's really, really in a rut. It could be about someone you meet tomorrow on the street. But that is the secret of a new life of faith, is to be given an object to love, and that will inevitably turn a closed door into a life of fun and delight and greater length. Dear God, help us to stop, to look, listen to our heartbeat, and by your great mercy, whether it be a chance encounter or a long, long time potential relationship, help us to love someone so that our faith can become active again. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.